Hey, Drew.
Hey.
I was just going through some comics here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Like, I got this one here.
Oh, man, look at this.
It's Thor.
Yeah.
He's the God of Thunder,
God of Thunder. Odin's son.
Yeah. I got this other one here that's Captain America. Neat.
What's this one?
That's Iron Man, man.
Oh, yeah.
He wears a suit of metal, and he shoots things out of his hands, and he fights this guy named Jebediah.
You've got one more here.
Hulk. This is called The Hulk.
Oh, cool.
He's the Incredible Hulk, though, because he's incredible, because he's huge.
You don't have, like, a Hawkeye comic.
Who's Hawkeye?
I'm Drew.
And I'm John.
And you're listening to The Hourchive,
our ever-growing library of everything. 1 hour at a time.
As you walk on by.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that were how the Avengers got assembled? Like, they all went to detention?
Whoa!
They all go, like Captain America, he's like the jock, so he got in trouble for like beating up some kid in the locker room. He beat up Bucky in the locker room, and he got sent to detention.
Yeah, he would never beat Bucky up, but that's fine.
That's fine.
For this, for the purposes of this.
Right, yeah. And Bruce Banner, he failed science class.
Wow.
And he got really angry.
Well, he didn't fail, he just did an experiment that went really wrong.
Right.
And he destroyed the science lab.
Yeah. Detention. Black Widow didn't do anything.
Yeah, she was boring.
She got sent to detention.
She was really boring. Hawkeye had a similar problem.
Right. He didn't have anything to do on Saturday. No, you know what it was? There was no archery team at the school.
But he kept bringing his bow and arrow.
Yeah, he goes to school on Saturday to be an archer. And
what did Tony Stark do?
Oh, he set shop class on fire.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also he broke
what did
some things
Thor do?
Who's Thor?
Well, he's the other guy.
He's the janitor.
No. Nick Fury's the principal.
Oh, yes. Stark, I got you for 2 months.
If I gotta come back in here, I'm cracking mud good skulls. Okay. Marvel movie cinematic universe. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get our wish.
No, it's not. It's the Marvels. You just said the Marvel movie cinematic universe.
Yeah.
It's the Marvel movie universe.
I would like there to be a mashup between the John Hughes universe and the Marvel cinematic universe.
Yeah.
Now. I don't know if we have time to
probably not
to match everyone up.
So we're talking about the Marvel cinematic universe.
Let's start with the start.
Okay.
Iron Man
starts it off.
Iron Man comes out. And everyone can't believe it.
Yeah, Iron Man. I couldn't believe it.
Of all the properties to have done well.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did it well. Like, it was actually like a really, really good movie.
I don't think anyone expected it to be as good as it was. Jon Favreau directed it. Did he write it?
Yeah, I think so.
There's a lot of factors going into the disbelief. Because Jon Favreau, up to this point, has done independent films, right?
Yeah, sort of. Pseudo-independent.
He certainly hasn't done any action films.
No.
Or big effects films.
No. Or Marvel films.
Yeah. So he was, for all intents and purposes, unproven. Mm-hmm. Robert Downey Jr. was sort of a joke before that came out.
Yeah.
He had... I forget what happened. What did he do? Was it just drug abuse?
Drug abuse, and I think there were some like trysts.
Yeah, yeah. So he
was on the internet a lot.
He had become sort of a parody of himself.
Yeah.
At that point, so that was up in the air, and an Iron Man, the character, wasn't a popular one. I mean, if
for good reason too, I think. I mean,
Just the idea of it is not that interesting when you just think about it, right?
Yeah.
It's a guy with a robot suit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Right. And too, I mean, he did, we won't get into this too much, but the character did have his ups and downs. There were some interesting arcs that explored sort of his alcoholism and stuff like that. But at this point, like, I mean, that was written like the, in the 70s or something. You know, it's been like decades since Iron Man was really relevant in the comics. So, and nobody really beyond comics knew who Iron Man was, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. There was real, the recognition wasn't there the way there was recognition for Spider-Man.
Right.
Or even, for the X-Men, even the X-Men.
Who had a cartoon.
The X-Men, yeah, so X-Men and Spider-Man have come out at this point.
Right.
And have both done really well. Mm-hmm. And I think Fantastic Four had come out.
Yes, and had not done really well.
So, you know, you're thinking, if you're a comic book fan, you're probably thinking Marvel's put out its best at this point, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe like, I think Hulk had come out too.
Oh, yeah, the first Hulk.
And it was, it wasn't bad, but it just was kind of boring.
Yeah.
For the most part. So I think probably Marvel fans were kind of like, you know, we got the best of what we're going to get at this point.
What can you do with Iron Man, John Favreau?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then Iron Man comes out.
And it's rad.
And it blows you away.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And it's because of all the things that people weren't sure about. It was because Robert Downey Jr. kind of embraced that parody of himself in a way and kind of funneled it into his portrayal of Tony Stark.
Just sort of wisecracks his way through that movie.
It's totally unexpected.
Yeah.
I thought.
Yeah, agreed.
His, how charismatic he was.
Yeah. Yeah, he, I mean, you could almost, and I've argued this and I'll argue it again later, you could have an Iron Man movie that basically had no Iron Man in it, and I think it would still be a success. It would still be great because he's so charismatic.
Tony Stark is
Tony Stark's
the character you're rooting for.
Yeah.
You're not rooting for Iron Man.
Yeah. Who cares about Iron Man?
Well, and Iron Man, when he's Iron Man, it's computer graphics.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not Robert Downey Jr. And the reason you root for Iron Man is because of the portrayal of Tony Stark.
Yes.
That's why you like Iron Man.
Yeah. And because I think the way the movie's made, it invites you to just sort of play along. Just, it's like, you know, come hang out with Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah,
hang
totally.
Out with this fun group of people making this fun movie.
And you had, X-Men had been so serious and gritty.
Yeah.
Hulk was very
cerebral. Yeah. And a lot of psychoanalysis.
Spider-Man was just sort of odd.
Yes.
Especially the third one. Well, the third one had a lot of issues. But the first two, I really enjoyed them, but they're offbeat. They're strange.
Yeah.
It's a strange approach to a superhero movie.
Yeah.
And I think it works for what that is.
Sure.
But it doesn't work as a blockbuster.
Right.
Right. So it seemed like Iron Man, and on the other side of the fence, you have like Batman Begins, which is so gritty, it hurts.
Right.
You know, like the latest Superman was kind of like
moody.
Moody. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So no one's like having fun with superheroes anymore.
Right.
Until Iron Man comes back. Mm-hmm. Or until Iron Man comes.
Yes.
And it's like, hey, this is supposed to be fun. This is a silly kind of universe. Men dressed up in costumes. Let's have fun with it.
Get that grit out of your face.
Yeah, exactly. And it felt,
have a martini.
It was great.
Yeah.
And it was serious in parts. Like it wasn't all nonstop jokes. But I thought it was really well balanced.
Just a good balance. And it was sort of the fact that no one knew that it was going to be a hit, I think, allowed them to take chances. And one of the chances that they took was to add in a little bit of fan service, I guess, in the movie by slipping in a few little references to other Marvel characters in the movie, you know? So they're making Iron Man, and if it's successful, great. But if it's not successful, well, who cares? It's not going to hurt anything
if we have
to
Easter
slip
eggs.
Captain America's shield in a scene, you know, or to have Nick Fury, who's the head of SHIELD, the organization, show up in a post credits cameo, and mention a certain initiative.
I wonder if that was even a way for them to test the waters.
I think it kind of was.
To see, like, what kind of reaction that got.
Yeah. that's from what I've read that they, I forget whose idea it was originally to do it. Actually, it might have been Sam Jackson's. You know, he might have, or at least he may have taken credit for it. Yeah. You know,
it's even better if he just took credit for it. That's my idea.
No, I do. I recall reading something like that where he actually contacted Favreau or the company, or maybe it was the head of Marvel, you know, and he's like, hey, I'm a big comic book fan. Is there anything that I can do for this movie?
Huh.
And since they had based the comic incarnation,
the ultimate
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Avengers version
of Nick Fury on
in the Ultimate Universe.
Yes. They had based it on Samuel L. Jackson,
his likeness,
that character.
Yeah.
So if it sort of made sense, this would be an interesting way to do it. And yeah. I do remember sitting in that theater and thinking, wow,
yeah,
this is really happening. They actually got Samuel L. Jackson to portray this character that he inspired in the comics.
But it still felt like I agree with you, it was exciting.
It didn't have a direction necessarily.
Well,
it was
you
just
really wondered, would it ever happen?
Right.
Because there were a lot of steps that had to happen from the end of Iron Man to then have an Avengers movie made.
Yeah.
There were so many things that had to happen. And there were so many questions around, like, well, what is an Avengers movie? Who's the studio behind it?
Right. How's this going to work?
How do you bring the properties together? Because one of the properties was Hulk, and that had already come out.
Mm-hmm.
And
is it a different studio than Iron Man? Yeah. And that's the thing, sort of what makes this sort of a unique, the thread between these movies is so unique in that never before, well, I think of one instance, but nothing on this scale has there ever been an instance where you had this many different studios holding the rights to different characters and those characters intersecting in each other's movies.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the same cast playing the characters and everything. The only thing that I can recall that's similar was Michael Keaton in Jackie Brown played an ATF guy.
Uh-huh.
And Jackie Brown was based on an Elmore Leonard book.
Okay.
And Out of Sight, which was also based on an Elmore Leonard book, came out like 2 years later from a different studio, different filmmaking team completely. And he appears as a cameo in that film playing the same character. And I remember watching the audio commentary on Out of Sight, and they were like, this is the first time that we can recall this has ever happened where the same actor plays the same character in, you know, two completely separate productions.
It has happened on TV.
Yeah.
The character Detective Munch, I think is his name, has appeared in countless police procedurals. I think he originated on Homicide by David Simon. He has shown up in The Wire. He's shown up in, I think, every incarnation of Law & Order. Like, all sorts of cop shows, he'll show up in an episode here and there. It's always Richard Belzer.
Oh, yeah.
That plays him.
Yeah.
I think his name's Detective Munch. So Iron Man comes out. It's a huge success. They signed a deal for Iron Man 2. Iron Man's 08.
2008. May of 2008, I think.
And the Incredible Hulk with Edward Norton is also 2008.
Mm-hmm.
But doesn't really matter, that one. I mean, I liked that movie, it doesn't matter in the scheme of things.
Well, it sort of did, arguably. I mean, it brought the character back. It made the Hulk feasible again, I think, to audiences.
Okay.
You know, I think people had more or less written off that property after Ang Lee made the first Hulk movie. And The Incredible Hulk brought it back. But it's interesting that, you know, after Iron Man, nobody was really sure. It was hardly a given that these characters would all come together in another movie, or that there would be any kind of continuity from movie to movie.
Yeah.
The Hulk comes out, and there's a cameo in it
with
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, you're
playing
right.
Tony
yeah,
Stark.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
And so I think at that point, everybody kind of thought,
oh,
well, that's cool.
Yeah.
But again, it was still sort of an uncertain thing. You know, there was no formal plan in place, according, you know, to at least publicly at that point. And the Hulk didn't do very well.
Not really.
I mean, it did modest, but
it did okay.
It wasn't a huge success. Success.
Success.
Success. It wasn't a smash.
It wasn't a Hulk smash hit.
smell of stale beer and defeat. You know, I hate to say I told you so, General, but that super soldier program was put on ice for a reason. I've always felt that hardware was much more reliable.
Stark.
General.
You always wear such nice suits.
Touche. I hear you have an unusual problem.
You should talk.
You should listen. What if I told you we were putting a team together?
Who's we?
Iron Man 2 was next.
Yeah.
So further, like bolstering of the property.
And that was 2010,
yep.
Right? Yeah.
Then, here, okay. I forgot to mention this. The first one, I thought it fell down at one point, and that was in its villain.
Yeah.
I have a problem with superheroes fighting villain versions of themselves. So Iron Man fought a bigger Iron Man.
Yeah.
The Hulk fought
a crazy Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the second Hulk movie.
Yeah.
In Iron Man 2, he fights Whiplash.
Mm-hmm.
While that's not an Iron Man, it's also not that exciting.
Right.
He's got,
I mean, it was similar. I
he's
mean,
got
it was, he was using the same
he's using the
power
core
whatever.
Thing.
Yeah.
And you have another Iron Man in there, the War Machine.
War Machine.
As played by Don Cheadle, right?
Was it Don Cheadle? Yeah, that's right, because
Terrence Howard, who
was
I was
the first
really
one.
Bummed, did not make it into Iron Man 2.
Yeah.
Because I thought he would have been great in that as that War Machine character. Because he seemed to have a similar charm to him mm-hmm. that Robert Downey Jr. had. Like, we didn't get to see a whole lot of them in that movie, but I thought parts in Iron Man, but I thought the parts that we did see were good. Like, he had, you know, he could carry that role. And Don Cheadle, I like Don Cheadle, but he just didn't come across as that character to me.
Yeah.
So you get two Iron Mans for the price of one, and they fight a bunch of robots.
Oh, yeah.
Which means they can, like, cut them in half and destroy them and stuff. That's what, like, Hollywood and TV shows do when they want to show, like...
Mass carnage.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put in robots.
Yeah. That are humanoid.
Droids. Droid armies. Clones.
Did they fight any... It was just Whiplash and those robots, right?
Yeah.
So...
Well, and then there was sort of the antagonist, the anti-Tony Stark. Sam Rockwell's
yeah,
character.
Yeah, he was great.
He was great.
He was great. But that's because it's Sam Rockwell.
Yes.
That's like... He is the like the quirky Robert Downey Jr. in a way,
mm-hmm.
just as charismatic but also weird.
Yes.
So both Iron Man movies disappointed me in that the villain was never that interesting, and the big fights at the end were not that exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, a lot of the ancillary fights were more exciting, like the set pieces in the middle of the film or at the beginning,
like with the race car thing. Yeah.
Or at the beginning of Iron Man when he makes the first Iron Man suit.
Oh yeah,
which
he's
is
busting
based,
out of the.
I love too that they've held true to the iteration on the Iron Man armor. Like he starts with this big, you know, cast iron sort of boiler kind of suit, and that's what Iron Man was in the first comics.
Right.
It was pretty funny, but he looks awesome in that when he comes out of that cave. You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, the final battle scenes have never really done a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Iron Man 2 was good,
mm-hmm.
but it had a lot to live up to with Iron Man 1. And I think it was just kind of more of the same. I don't know that it ever, I don't think it took it anywhere.
It was an encore.
Yeah, and I think what kind of bothered me was they had the opportunity to address the alcoholism thing.
Yeah,
they sort of touched on it, and then it wasn't a problem in the end, you know, and that was too bad, I thought.
Yeah.
So then Thor, 2011, May 2011, Thor comes out. And I think you and I have differing opinions on this.
Well, we have differing opinions on Iron Man 2, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
go ahead.
A certain degree.
Yeah. I
loved Iron Man 2 because it was
more
almost exclusively
same.
Tony Stark.
Yeah, there's a lot more Tony Stark.
Which is what I wanted. Yeah. a bunch of shots of him playing.
Maybe Iron Man 3 will like one scene of Iron Man.
It's just going to open with an Iron Man scene. He'll be like, you know, hanging out with the Avengers, and then it'll just be all Tony Stark drinking.
Oh, man.
Which is exactly what I want. Yeah. Wrestling with
Iron Man 2 had the whole Disney aspect.
Howard Stark playing sort of a Walt Disney-esque entrepreneur slash genius
with his expo
which was modeled on the 64 World's Fair.
Pretty cool.
I think they actually shot a lot of that stuff in the same location where the fair happened, but that and the whole thing with the model, how he like he figures everything out because he has that model. The scene of him driving down the highway with that model in the car was pretty awesome. So I like that whole angle of it. I loved the retro element to it. But I did also like the fact that it was purely Tony Stark, which I think is the more interesting part of that. Well, and that sort of applies to the Hulk too. And we don't really need to go into the Hulk too much, but I don't think the Hulk is a very interesting character, especially in a movie scenario.
Well, the Hulk is not a character so much as just a,
he's a problem. He's a challenge.
He's a conflict.
Yeah. He's a conflict. But I think as a conflict, I don't find him all that interesting either.
I don't think,
but I do find, I like Bruce Banner as a character, and I like the idea that he's being pursued for something that he can't really control.
Yeah.
You know, he's suffering the consequences of the Hulk.
Well, and that's
Bruce Banner. I find that interesting.
I think that's where both the movies have kind of fallen down, is that they've never made the consequences bad enough.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Like, he's never really hurt anyone. Like physically hurt anyone that he loves,
right?
Or caused true, you know, he's destroyed property.
Yeah,
he's caused mayhem, but never.
He doesn't have like an Uncle Ben moment.
Yeah, yeah. He needs to have really hurt someone or even killed someone that he loves for, because he's, from what I know of the Hulk and Bruce Banner, the original conceit is that he hates being the Hulk. He doesn't want to be the Hulk.
Right.
He spends a lot of his time trying to suppress it and cure himself.
Or figure out a way not to be the Hulk. Yeah.
And I don't think either movie, while they definitely, I think, did try to capture that, the consequences weren't dire enough to sort of validate his desire to not be the Hulk. Right.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that.
So Thor comes out, and I never liked Thor. Like,
who has?
The comic never appealed to me.
Yeah.
Although I learned from my friend Ted that originally Thor, in the original comics, like, there wasn't a dude who was Thor. It was like a dude who would call upon Thor, and Thor would come down and like take over the guy's body or
Interesting.
Something. Something like that.
Hmm.
And I guess the name that Thor... So in the movie Thor, when he ends up on Earth and he hangs out with Natalie Portman, she gives him a fake name to give to, you know, like the doctors or something.
Uh-huh.
And the fake name is the name of the guy in the comic that would call Thor down, I guess.
Yeah, I see.
So anyway, I never liked Thor as a character. It never interested me when I was reading comics. So I had a very low expectations. I'm surprised I even saw the movie because I had such low expectations based on the trailer, based on the character. But I ended up really enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I had such low expectations, and because it also that there was a sense of humor to it that I liked. I liked Chris Hemsworth, his portrayal.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked the hokiness of it. There was a lot of hokiness in that movie.
A little bit.
Maybe. And it had a very Superman 2 feel.
Oh yeah, I could see that.
Which I liked. Mm-hmm. You know. And I especially liked when he would twirl his hammer. I thought that was cool. It was a neat effect. You know, and I thought the Rainbow Road was pretty cool looking, I thought.
I just wanted. We're gonna isolate that line because I'm gonna keep that close to my heart. I thought the Rainbow Road was pretty cool.
I liked it, and I will totally acknowledge that it's not a well-made movie. I think I just enjoyed it because I didn't really care, you know.
It exceeded your expectations. Yeah, it was a surprise.
It was.
It was surprisingly entertaining.
And out of everything in that movie, I just enjoyed Chris Hemsworth's portrayal of Thor.
Yeah, he's a very entertaining Thor.
Yeah,
he makes the character somewhat entertaining. He does. Which is something that I didn't expect going into it. I think the biggest flaw with it is that it has to get Thor on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really no conflict on Earth.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing for him to do on Earth.
Yep.
So it felt really just sort of a bunch of people running around.
It was sort of uneven too.
Yeah. And but then the interesting thing is, like, I don't care about any of the stuff that's happening in Odinsburg or whatever it's called. Asgard. I don't care about anything that's happening in Asgard, you know? So
Odinsburg.
I had trouble getting into it from that angle too.
Asgard, it was weird. Asgard was, first of all, was weird, and there just wasn't the because they were dividing time between Earth and Asgard. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really get into either side, I think.
Yeah.
Although the cool part was when Thor is like the arrogant Thor, mm-hmm. and he takes his crew over to the ice giant's planet. And he's like, screw you guys, I'm totally cool. And they're like, no, you're not. And they fight, right? And then, like, Thor's like, oh, maybe I'm not that cool because they're losing. And then Odin appears on his crazy horse, and the Rainbow Road, like, slams into the planet. It was cool. And you're like, damn, Anthony Hopkins, one mm-hmm. eye. Odin, one eye. What's his name? I really liked that part.
Okay.
So they should have kept it in one place.
I agree. I think it would have been better.
And they had a dumb villain.
Yeah.
Loki, and not because I think Loki can be a good villain, and I'm hoping he's going to be a good villain in Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a good villain in this because I don't think they used him well. Because he didn't seem to pose a real threat.
No, he was just sort of hissing a lot.
Yeah, he wasn't physically imposing, but which would be okay, but he wasn't mentally opposing
right,
either.
Right, you never treat him as a credible threat.
Yeah,
you know, even exactly. though like it's clear, okay, he's maybe
he was snibbling,
he's turning. Yeah. Yeah, and I think they did a good job of not making his turn so blatant and overt.
Yeah,
and maybe it's just my lack of memory, but I think it was handled fairly well. It wasn't smack in your face.
You
like,
could tell he
Loki's
was
Loki's gonna turn.
You could tell he was, unhappy.
Yes,
you could tell he didn't like his place.
Yes,
but you couldn't tell to what extent until he turns,
and you couldn't necessarily figure out exactly when he was going to turn or when he would. Make that change.
And then
but he wasn't a very good
villainous
presence. It seems to be a problem with these movies.
I know. So
this wave of films is not.
And then there's the big steel guy that he fights and on Earth.
Oh,
that
yeah.
was totally
who looked like a Cylon
anticlimactic.
Or
yeah. But
who's actually in the comics. And I think like from the drawings that I've seen, like,
yeah, he is a comic.
It was a pretty faithful rendition of that. Character.
Yeah, I like the design of it.
Yeah, but just again, it was just sort anything. Of thrown out there, and then okay, it's done.
And there was a good moment when Thor gets his hammer back to go fight it, but it's just kind of wasted.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's two Avengers tie-ins in Thor. There's the fact that Hawkeye shows up in Thor.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of dumb, but it happens. Like. Thor goes to get his hammer.
His hammer.
Because at the end of Iron Man 2, we forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah, there was the
post-credits.
Teaser. Yeah.
Agent Coulson.
Who we'll come back to, but yeah, Agent Coulson.
Who has shown up in the previous Iron Man movie.
Yes.
As and who had a great run through that movie of like showing up and seeming like a nuisance to Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And at the end you realize he's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right. He's been prodding him sort of all along.
But in the, at the end of Iron Man 2 post credits, he's calling into the office. He's like, we found it. And you see Thor's hammer stuck in the ground.
Yeah.
And then in Thor, S.H.I.E.L.D. has this operation up around the hammer. They can't get it out of the earth or whatever. And so Thor goes to get it. And Hawkeye's hanging out, and he's like, oh, I see him. He's in my sights. Don't fire. All right, you got to go. Like, he just shows up. He doesn't do anything, and then he leaves.
Thanks for coming. Thanks. Okay. See you next year.
Just cut Jeremy Renner a check there. Call it a day.
Yeah.
And the other tie-ins in Iron Man is what's her face?
Oh, Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow.
Johansson.
Isn't that her name?
It's Johansson, isn't it?
Whatever. Scarlett Yo.
Scarlett Yo
Black
shows
Scarlet.
Up. Yeah.
Scarlet Widow.
Scarlett Yo shows up in Iron Man 2.
Yes.
And she's like, I'm a badass.
Yeah.
Not really.
No. Yeah, but they definitely push her as
Yeah,
a
they
badass.
Do. Like, so Thor 2, which they are making, but post-credits Thor, Natalie Portman's father figure in the movie, who's not her father, Professor Guy.
Professor Guy.
He gets called in to speak with Nick Fury.
Right.
Nick Fury's like, we found this thing. We want you to tell us what it is.
Right.
Right. And it is this blue power cube thing that is in Captain America. And, yeah.
Okay, I don't remember it in Captain America.
It's what, but that's fine. It's what the Red Skull uses to like be all powerful.
Okay,
so he, the Natalie Portman's dad is like, yeah, I'll help out. And then he looks in the mirror and it's Loki standing there next to him, right? Yeah. And I'm like, so was Loki always that guy, or is he just posing him as him now?
Maybe we'll find out.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield, all those who chose to oppose his shield must yield. If he's led to a fight and a duel is due, then the red and the white and the blue will come through. When Captain America throws his mighty shield.
Captain America comes out.
Captain America.
And now I
and
have...
throws his mighty shield.
Oh, man. Did that show up in the movie?
No, I don't think so.
So Captain America comes out, and now I don't know what to think. Like, I didn't expect Thor to be
going
good.
Going into Captain America, you mean? Yeah.
I didn't expect Thor to be good, mm-hmm. and I liked it. Mm-hmm. Iron Man, I expected nothing from and loved it, right? Whore. Oh, man. Hulk. What happened was I mixed Thor with Hulk.
And Hulk, right.
Thulk. Couldn't have said Thulk. I say whore.
Yeah.
Hulk.
So Hulk comes out,
and it's a disappointment for the most part. So what if, you know, Captain America again? Never really liked him in the comics. Mm-hmm. Found him boring. What's he really going to do that's going to be interesting? Mm-hmm. I like Chris Evans. It's got that going for it for mm-hmm. me. It's set in the 40s. Mm-hmm. I like that
period piece. Right. Mm-hmm. Cap's origin. It's an origin story.
Yeah. And for me, it was a lot like Thor in that it had a lot of flaws, but I enjoyed the good parts for what mm-hmm. they were. I think one of the best scenes in the movie is when he's first becomes Captain America after he takes the serum.
Oh,
and he chases that guy down.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, man. Just seeing like a 40s era shootout with, you know, Tommy guns and those old cars. That was great.
And he grabs the door off that taxi cab and it has a star on it.
Yeah.
So it's like his shield.
Yeah. It was cool seeing him in the different costumes, the different iterations
of that. And that was really good. Overall, I enjoyed the movie. I think it mm-hmm. was not a really well made movie. I think there's some real issues.
Yeah.
Like you never really get a big blowout fight that is satisfying. You get a montage at one point.
My big issue with it was that all the other ones, you could tell, I think after Iron Man 2, and even to a certain degree in Iron Man 2, you could sort of feel like, okay, well, this is all leading up to something else.
Yeah. You know,
this is all about getting these characters together eventually. But they all sort of stood on their own. They may not have been great movies, but they stood on their own. Even Thor, I think, stands on its own as a cohesive story, albeit not a great, well-told one, but it's complete. But Captain America, on the other hand, I think felt like they were rushing.
They had to get out of the way.
They're like, yeah, exactly. We're like, we gotta get Captain America from the 40s to now.
We can't introduce him in Avengers. We need to give him his own movie, and then he can really shine in Avengers or something.
Which, yeah, I totally disagree with. I sort of feel like...
Oh, I think Avengers should have been his first movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think
he should be the lead in Avengers because he is the leader of the Avengers.
Right.
And they could have told his 40s era story in a movie post-Avengers.
Yeah.
But... I liked his team, his squad, but they didn't give any. You didn't get to know them at all because it was such a short little bit of that stuff. It was all in that montage.
Yeah, and I thought the Red Skull looked great.
Yes,
they did an incredible job realizing
him.
Yes,
they did.
But his character didn't do anything.
Yeah, he was boring.
Yeah, he was not a presence.
Yeah, I was totally. I give them props for going all the way with that.
Yeah.
Look. You know, they could have waited till the last minute of the movie, like they often do in these movies, to reveal like what he really looks like. But they went at it.
There,
yeah. It's good. And that's the blue power cube or whatever it is shows up
in
that
movie.
He's
using in that big gun or whatever.
And then we get the tease for Avengers. And I don't think it was post credits. It was just at the end of the movie.
At the end of the movie, which I think was also a problem, you know?
Yeah.
Well, because it really undercuts everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything that he's done doesn't really matter because now he's not there anymore to revel in his victory or something.
Well, even that, it's sort of, you don't have time to think like, man, what an awesome sacrifice at the end of the movie, you know? Because immediately he's awake and, I just think that was a poor move.
Yeah,
but
he wakes up and he thinks he's still in the 1940s, but then he realizes like the baseball game that's playing
the fabrication. Of,
yeah,
that was a little bit weird too. I don't know that I would have played it out that way. But
he busts out and it's modern day and he's like, "Where am I?" And Nick Fury's like,
"They're all like,
what's up, dude?"
Yeah, like it's like they were all waiting around various corners in New York.
So now we're primed. They made all the movies except for Ant-Man.
Nope.
Ant-Man is on the docket, though. Ant-Man, who is an original Avenger from the comic, is currently being written by Edgar Wright and Joe Cornish.
That's a good combo.
I know.
That's a hell of a combo.
And Edgar Wright's supposed to direct it.
Nice.
And we've seen the trailers. When the trailers came out... I'm looking at you because I know what you think of these trailers. When the trailers came out, I was truly excited by them. And when the real trailers started coming out and you started seeing like shots of what these epic fights are going to be like. And it looks exactly like I want an Avengers movie to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Like them together. The best thing they ever did in a trailer was to have Iron Man get knocked out of the sky and Hulk jump up out of nowhere and catch him.
Catch him?
That's beautiful. That is a thing of beauty in the superhero world.
That's beautiful, true believer.
True believer. But we haven't seen Avengers yet.
No, we haven't.
We can't talk about it yet.
Yet.
Let's go see Avengers now.
What do?
We get ready. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people. So when we needed them, they could fight the battles that we never could.
We're back. We saw the movie.
Man.
Spoiler alert.
Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
We have not really talked about it.
You and I. Mean. Yeah.
Yeah. We stepped out of the theater. Our separate ways. We didn't look at each other.
A few years back, I heard that Drew was involved in an altercation at a fast food restaurant. The man tried to start a fight.
Oh, my gosh.
He pulled a knife. Drew intervened.
I disappear as you walk away. So my general review, I guess, of the Avengers.
Yeah, give us your general review.
I thought it was awesome.
Be Rex Reed for a minute.
Rex Reed?
Rex, who's that guy?
I don't know.
Gene Shalit.
I just
be Gene Shalit.
The Avengers have avenged my distaste for bad movies. No, I loved it. I thought it was great. Mm-hmm. I very much enjoyed it. I thought it did a lot of things really well. There were a few things that I thought were not so great, but the stuff that I liked more than made up for the stuff that I didn't like.
Okay. Let's lay down some of the stuff that you liked.
I liked all of the superheroes.
Okay.
I thought they were all treated very well. The Hulk especially, I think, was probably the star of the show.
Absolutely. Yeah. They finally found a way to make him like relevant and interesting in a movie.
I thought Mark Ruffalo did a really good job.
Badass. He's surprisingly, I've never seen a movie where I thought he did a great job, but he was amazing.
I had serious doubts.
Yeah.
And he knocked it out of the park.
Yes,
he is probably the best Hulk. Mm-hmm. The best Bruce Banner. Hulk.
Yeah.
The action sequences I thought were wonderful.
There were a few of them in there. There was at least one that I can remember.
And that the final scene, the climactic battle in the city, I thought I haven't seen anything like it in terms of a team fighting.
Oh yeah. Where they sort of kind of intersect but are not necessarily working together.
Yeah, but then they do work. Yeah, exactly. Right. It did a really good job of like showing them fighting on their own, then showing them teaming up, and then showing, you know, the dynamics between them. Mm-hmm. And I think my favorite thing about the movie in general were there were so many good moments in the movie. Mm-hmm. So many excellent little like tags that just took you by surprise and played really well, whether it was for comedy, for action, you know, for whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought they did a really good job of just layering in all of these little moments, these little beats that just sort of add up to this really fun experience.
Good times.
That's how I felt. That's what I liked about the movie.
Okay. Do you want to talk about what you didn't like, or should I tell you what I liked about the movie?
Tell me what you liked.
If I had to pick like one signature thing that I was really impressed with, it was probably that this was, in spite of the fact that there was so much writing on this movie and it's a completely different creative team than has worked on any of the other ones other than the actors and, you know, the executives, they managed to stay, as far as I'm concerned, 100% consistent with both the tone and the characterization of those previous movies.
Yeah.
Never at any point did
Except
I think...
Except for the Hulk.
Well, okay, yeah. I guess that's a good point. They did sort of alter him a little bit, but
just in tone.
But, like, what I worried about was that some of these characters would be compromised in favor of the story.
Yeah.
You know, like in order to service the story, they would have to make some sort of conceit with one of these characters, you know. I thought for sure somebody was going to get messed up.
Yeah.
Now, here is my caveat to that statement. Mm-hmm. I do feel that somebody was messed up. He was not one of the signature heroes,
all right.
But I think that he was altered a bit for dramatic
purposes
in this film, and that's Agent Coulson,
who
I think up until this point has been my favorite part of the crossover.
The network.
Yeah.
The thread.
His characterization in this, I felt, was a little bit forced. He is what brings the team together ultimately, I will say. He represent what
he's,
happens to
he's
him
the push. It becomes real for them.
Right. He even says it. He says this has to happen.
Yeah.
You know, in order for this team to work the way that we know that they can work,
yeah,
this has to happen.
He does.
It's the only way. And he's right. And I think that that's great. And I don't even necessarily mind him calling attention to that mm-hmm. fact. I think it plays really, really well. But what I don't like is the lead up to that, where he is
I assume you're
sort of unnecessarily made lovable. You know, he's in his previous appearances in the Iron Man movies and in Thor, he felt very, you know, he was not stone cold in the way that like Nick Fury is portrayed. You know, he definitely has, he's a softer agent, you know, mm-hmm. and I think that that's fine. And I feel like in this movie in particular, they over softened him for both for comedic value, but more importantly, to make him more, to make you feel more for him mm-hmm. at that pivotal moment. And I didn't like that because I found it distracting. And I think it actually undermined what they were going for, at least from an audience perspective, when it gets to that point in the movie and mm-hmm. he's taken out of the picture.
I think maybe, you know, what might have happened in Avengers is he's you know, technically a main character. Mm-hmm. So he has a lot of screen time.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that shtick, the sort of lovable agent, mm-hmm. soft-spoken, you know, agent, doesn't work
when it's
always on.
Yeah.
You know, I thought one of the biggest problems with the movie, and I still love the movie regardless. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much that for me, it made the movie bad. It was just felt like they didn't try hard
mm-hmm.
was the army that they fought.
Yeah.
There was, you know, they were just bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They were just people to be killed. The bad guy stuff was not really well done.
Right. Which has been a trend. I mean, I think in these movies,
I agree.
You know, that's...
It was good enough. It served its purpose.
Right.
They had a swarm of bad guys to fight, mm-hmm. which is what Avengers need, right?
Right.
They need to be, you know, mobbed, basically, so that they can shine. They had big, really, you know, big worm guys to fight.
Yeah.
Which is good. But there was no emotional connection to the villains.
Yeah.
Loki, to some degree, there was.
But, yeah.
But with the rest of, like, with the aliens and the weird hooded guy,
mm-hmm.
I didn't care who they were. Like, I didn't know who they were.
Yeah. And I think that's only a problem in as much as you don't, I felt there was a lack of triumph in their defeat.
I didn't know really what was at stake either.
Yeah.
The thing is, here's the reason it falls down. At the beginning of the movie, Loki seems like a very credible threat. When mm-hmm. he shows up in the S.H.I.E.L.D. base,
mm-hmm.
they're shooting him and nothing's killing it. You know, bullets are bouncing off of him. He's killing people.
Mm-hmm.
He's hypnotizing them. He is, in that opening scene, I was like, oh my God, they made Loki like dangerous.
Yeah.
Because in Thor, he's not dangerous.
Yeah.
Physically, which we talked about.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, they gave him some power, like he can do stuff now, you know. And then in the scene in Germany, again, he displays like
mm-hmm.
credible threat from the time that he gets on the S.H.I.E.L.D. airship until the end of the movie, he's no longer a threat.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem like a threat at all.
Yeah. But that aside, I think the weaknesses aside, I think it is a satisfying, for the most part, movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does what it set out to do,
yeah,
which is convincingly bring these characters together
mm-hmm.
as a team. And while I wouldn't consider it as entertaining as maybe the first Iron Man movie,
mm-hmm.
I think it fits well tonally, as I said, within the universe, the whole universe. And I think it does a good job of making a credible transition from Earth stories to something bigger,
mm.
which is sort of where I kind of wanted to talk about and get your thoughts on this too, where they're going to go next with this.
Spoiler alert.
There is a tease of where they're going with this.
Credit.
And
bonus scene.
I think the scene is kind of stupid, personally.
Yeah.
But if
you're a comic nerd,
I'm impressed with...
You're going nuts.
I'm impressed with their balls. I'm impressed with them having the nerve to go into such a hard sell area. Because I think going into the sort of cosmic...
Just say it.
Weirdo
happens in this last scene?
The character Thanos from the comics is introduced in a mid-credit sequence.
Born on the moon Titan, is in love with death.
Lives on a giant space rock.
Yeah.
You know?
He literally wants to go out with death.
Yes.
The personification of death.
And that's a really weird realm to go into with a series like this. That's going for mass appeal. You know, like, I mean, they're obviously trying to satisfy comic book people, but I think they're really going beyond that. You know, they're trying to make these movies accessible to general pop audiences. And I'm impressed that they seem confident in their ability to sell something like Thanos, a guy who lives on a space rock.
I think it's easy.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Transformers 1, 2, and 3. If your effects are really stunning and if the action is like out of this world, people will go see the movie. Now, there are people like you and I who also want a story put in there.
Mm-hmm.
And Avengers serves its purpose. Like, for me, it did a really good job. For you, it sounds like it did an okay job.
Mm-hmm.
Transformers doesn't do that. It has a horrible, horrible story, but people keep going to those movies. And it's because of
the spectacle.
The spectacle. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So I don't think it even matters anymore for the mainstream audience.
I just feel like it...
No one's going to Avengers because it's a stretch to believe this. Do you know what I mean?
Right. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that I think giant robots that blow shit up, I think, are easier for an audience to engage with at that level than a guy who hangs out on a rock.
Well, he's hanging on a rock now.
No, I know that he'll have to get more involved. But I guess what I'm saying is that I feel like it's somewhat treacherous to go down that road.
I think,
and that's why I'm not saying that they can't do it. I'm saying that if I were doing it, I would be nervous about going in that direction.
I think
I would, you know, go somewhere else, like make it about Hydra or something, you know.
Ugh.
If I were making these movies,
I know.
If I were a studio executive and I wanted something that was going to be bankable, that's what I would do. I would be very nervous about going into the weirdo stuff, space stuff.
And you've hit the problem. This is the problem with superhero movies, is the executives are always like, no one's going to want to see this weird stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone wants to see the weird stuff.
Yeah.
The weird stuff is awesome.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Iron Man fight a bigger Iron Man.
Right.
I want to see Iron Man fight a giant armored worm. You know what I mean? That's cool.
Right.
And so, Thanos, I mean, the way for me that it becomes a stretch for the regular audience is if it takes place in space. Like if the Avengers have to go out into space and it's like a cosmic battle and it becomes a sci-fi flick.
Yeah.
That's where it's going to be a stretch. But if they keep things on Earth or in the solar system, right, I think they're going to be fine.
Uh-huh.
And Thanos is a dude. Like he's, you know, he can be a character.
Yeah.
And there's, so he's going to be, you know, it, as long as he's written well, he could be interesting and he could be an actual threat. As opposed to Loki, who becomes a dish rag.
Who really did not have any real power.
Which bummed me out. He was so good at the beginning, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just became nothing.
Yeah.
The one thing I didn't realize until I looked it up later was that in that final bonus scene, not the final bonus scene, but the one in mid-credit, that whoever that hooded guy is, which...
He's a leader of the aliens.
I guess.
Leader of the alien
army.
Yeah.
How do you know?
I looked it up.
Oh. They don't make it clear in the
no,
movie.
No, you have no idea who he is in the context of the movie.
But he's talking to him and he's like, blah, blah, blah. The humans are too unruly. They cannot be ruled. And then he says to fight them is to court death.
Yeah.
And that's when Thanos turns and smiles.
Yeah.
And apparently that's a joke because he
obviously
really,
he would like
to literally wants to court death.
Right.
I thought it was a really good movie. I enjoyed so much of it. It had so many awesome scenes. The Thor versus Hulk scene I thought was really,
really well
good.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when Thor's like summoning his hammer and waiting for it to come, and Hulk's like barreling down on him, and he catches it, and just as he does, he sort of sweeps around and, you know, mm-hmm. knocks Hulk in the face. It sort of slows down for a second. I mm-hmm. thought it was beautiful. And then Hulk can't pick up the hammer, and that makes him mad. You know,
yeah.
That whole scene was really great. There was I think one of the best moments in the major fight at the end mm-hmm. was when they sort of leapfrogged from hero to hero, uh-huh. showing them all kind of fighting. There was a really nice transition points between each of them. Mm-hmm. And Iron Man, I think, became kind of the guy that brought you around,
yeah.
at least for half of it. Like, yeah. I think it starts with Black Widow on one of those skiffs
yeah.
or whatever, and then he kind of flies past her and lands where Captain America is, and they fight together for a second, and then he flies up past Hawkeye, and Hawkeye shoots an arrow past Hulk, and Hulk's like smashing shit, and Thor like it comes into focus, and he's also smashing, and
yeah.
they kind of take down a worm together, and it was just that was a really beautiful
cool.
scene showing all of them as a team kind of taking out this this threat.
There was also a lot of hammer twirling.
Oh, yes.
Every time he started twirling that hammer, yeah. I started thinking about you.
Sometimes,
see, I'm surprised you didn't hear me chuckle at that.
Sometimes he did it, and like he didn't get to like carry it out, you know, uh-huh. but he'd just twirl it. And, you know, I'd be like, he's going to do
you
it.
You just see him starting yeah. it up, yeah.
But it wasn't as good as when he did it in Thor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because it had a wider sort of perimeter when he did it in Thor.
Yeah,
and they did it in this movie. He kept it really tight.
Yeah, he kept it in there clutch.
It was all right, yeah. but it was yeah.
Well, you got to save something for Thor too.
Yeah, man. Thor too.
There's gonna be there better be a hell of a hammer twirling scene in Thor too.
The Galaga joke.
Oh, that was excellent.
It was already excellent when Tony Stark's like,
that
man's playing Galaga.
Yeah,
he didn't think we'd notice.
Yeah,
but we did. And then later he
actually
Galaga.
Fires up Galaga that was the best. Again. Yeah,
that was incredible.
Well done.
Yeah, my overall rating is awesome. Good movie.
Yeah.
What was your overall review?
Yeah, I thought it was. I would call it like a good movie.
Where would you put it in the movies?
The pantheon
yeah.
of Marvel movies,
the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I would put it behind Iron Man and Iron Man 2, mm-hmm. and ahead of everything else. So sort of square in the
yeah.
middle, which I think is. I realize that may sound like it's a diss, but it's
no,
not.
No, I don't think it
I
is.
I mean, I think it is the perfect marriage of
yeah.
all of these different things. I think it takes the best of each of those individual
yeah.
characters and their movies and fuses them together in a very credible way.
It was really, from the second they said they're making an Avengers movie, I was like, I don't know how they're going to do this
mm-hmm.
and make it enjoyable and make it like worthwhile
mm-hmm.
for all of those characters. And I think they did.
Bam.
Boom.
There you go. You're welcome, Joss Whedon.
Fuck.
I mean, thank you. I mean, you're welcome.
Biff. Those are... Yeah, and Joss Whedon, gosh, now what?
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to be, you know, the sky's open for this guy now.
I bet he gets a submarine.
You think they're giving him a submarine? You think he's going to pull a camera? So Avengers 2, you think we'll get it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they like making money.
Yeah, I don't know if I don't know if we'll get a three, but we'll definitely get a two.
We'll get a two. Mm-hmm. Do you think they'll go with Thanos? I mean, they teased it.
I think he'll definitely be in it. I don't
yeah.
know that he'll be the main
right.
thrust of it, but I think he'll definitely be there.
Does everyone come back?
I think so. If not for the full movie, I think they're
none
at least all going to be back.
None of them strike me as like. The actor type of actors who are like, I don't do a sequel, you know?
Right, yeah.
They all seem like they'd be game.
They're in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're enjoying themselves.
Does Joss Whedon come back?
That's a good question. That, I think, is a bigger,
yeah,
bigger question mark.
And is he critical? He wrote it.
He did, but you know what? I think he wrote it within Marvel's parameters.
Hmm. And he had the producers on it, like, what's his face? Director of Iron Man.
Oh, Favreau.
He was a producer. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Who knows how much input he got?
Yeah, there could have. I'd like to think actually that there was a lot of collaboration going on. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see. I don't know that he's integral to a successful Avengers mm-hmm. 2. I think a lot of people would say that he is.
Yeah.
But I would be fine with them opening it up to somebody else. I think as long as they're able to keep it. Keep it in line with everything else.
Maybe it'll be Christopher Nolan.
Here he's got some time off ahead.
Big Cameron will break his.
Oh, there you go.
His rule of Avatar movies. All right. Well, let's put it in the archive until Avengers 2 comes out.
All right.